Good morning. So I have a question for you all today, and more than one. Are you weary? Do you feel like you struggle under a heavy burden? Do you wonder if you're ever going to be good enough to earn the approval of other people or earn the approval of God? I mean, do you ever think about that? Question it? I don't know. I'm not good enough. Well, in Matthew 11, the passage today was 11:25-30. Thank you for reading that. And specifically in the last three verses, 28, 29, and 30. Jesus said that for those who are weary and heavy burden, to come to him. That he'll give us rest. That we are to learn from him. And he goes on in that passage to tell us to take his yoke upon ourselves because he is gentle and humble or lowly, and in him we find rest for our souls. Do you need that? Do you need that rest today? How can we find that rest? What did Jesus mean? Take my yoke upon yourself. Well, let's just look at this passage. And beginning in verse 25, it says, at this time, Jesus said, and this is a prayer. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He's claiming sonship there, if you don't see that. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. Now, what things? We're not going to look completely at this list, but what things is he talking about? What has been hidden? What things has God hidden? And if you look at the beginning of chapter 11, if you look at the first 24 verses, and we're not going to do that in its entirety, but if you look at that, Jesus is out and about. He is going from town to town. He is preaching. He is teaching. He is healing people. He's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the message of the kingdom of heaven. He is sharing how to get there. He has shared the fact that, again, in this prayer, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He is claiming sonship. And he is claiming to be the Son of Man, the Son of God. He at one point said that John the Baptist, if they are willing to accept this, John the Baptist was the Elijah that was to come and prepare the way for the Messiah. He is claiming the Messiahship. And he says to these people, look, if you don't believe me, believe in the miracles. And he talks to these cities that he's going to, and there are different ones that he mentions by name. And he says this. He says, if the miracles would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, that you have seen me do, they would have repented long ago. And so in these passages, he is performing miracles. He is sharing kingdom gospel. And the people continue to question and reject him. And so he says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden. You've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, especially the Pharisees. And he goes on in this verse and he says, and you've revealed them to infants, babes. Hidden from the wise. Do you think you're wise? Are we intelligent? Or are we the babes? Huh. You can go home and tell people, my pastor said I'm a babe. No, you better not. might really get me in trouble. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, Paul tells the church, look, consider this, that when you were called by God, by Christ, there were not many of you that were wise, not according to the flesh. Not many of you were mighty or noble. But it says, Paul says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He's chosen the base, the lowly, and the despised to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast. And again, I think we come back to this issue. I think about spiritual pride. I think about spiritual pride. And I think sometimes it's easy to fall into that. But we need to recognize, well, maybe we're the lowly of the earth. God did not save me because I'm special. He did not offer me salvation because of the works that I do. He didn't offer me salvation because of what I can give to him. I'm like, oh, now there's a worker I need. All right. And he does it so we can't boast. So that we can't boast. John 15, Jesus is saying, he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Remain in me and you're going to produce fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything in life. We told some stories this morning in Sunday school of how God has had his hand in our life over the years and how he has taken us to different places and different jobs, and we see his activity. But the world may not recognize God's hand in their life, but they do things, right? There are a lot of people in the world that accomplish things. So when Jesus says you can do nothing, he means you can do nothing that is good spiritually. You can do nothing to earn salvation. You can do nothing for the kingdom apart from me. Right? So it's not that we're absolutely worthless and we just sit there like a bump on a log. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul has prayed about this thorn, and Jesus tells Paul, look, my power is made perfect in your weakness. What you cannot do on your own shows my power. So Paul says, okay, fine, I will boast in my weaknesses then. Now, he doesn't fill the scripture of, and here's how I stand, and this is what I did last night, and here's what I said to the neighbor. But he boasts in his weaknesses that he cannot do anything apart from Christ. And it shows Christ's power. It shows his mercy, his grace, his love. It shows his perfectness. And it shows his works. It shows how Christ has had his hand in our lives when we say, hey, that's not from me. Right? In sharing about the kingdom, in Matthew 19, a rich young man comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you keep the commandments. And he lists the commandments dealing with people. Okay? And this guy, he says, Jesus, I've done all that. I've done it. I've not committed murder. I didn't commit adultery. I've not stolen. You know, I've never lied or bared false witness. I've kept all these commandments. I honored my parents. And yet this man is standing there and he says, I've obeyed all the commands. And yet intrinsically, he kind of knows that there's something still missing. Because he goes on and he says, I've kept all them. But what more do I still lack? And Jesus said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Now, Jesus is not telling each and every one of us to sell everything we have and give to the poor. This man's problem was that he was a law-abiding citizen. He kept all the laws. He followed all the commands, but he loved his stuff more than God, and he loved his stuff more than people. And he wanted his stuff, and he went away sad. The scripture indicates to me that he went away sad because he wasn't about to sell his stuff. If that's what it takes, I'm going away disheartened. And that, I think, is what that said. He went away sad. Sell all my stuff. In Matthew 22, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Comes out of Deuteronomy. And then he says this. The second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that comes out of Leviticus. Okay? So he is drawing from Old Testament texts. Well, guess what? If you didn't know this before, the Pharisees agreed with him. The Pharisees agreed that those are the two greatest commandments. In the Old Testament, there are supposedly papers flying everywhere. In the Old Testament, there are, I believe, 613 laws. 613 laws. The Pharisees said, we don't want to break those laws. And so what did they do? They created hundreds and hundreds if not thousands of laws so that they didn't get close to breaking the other law. If the law says don't go over 55 miles an hour, they would make a law that might say, well, if it's sunny out and too bright, you shouldn't do over 40 because if you hit 55, you might be blinded by the sun. I don't know what they would say. But the point is they would make a lot of laws so that they wouldn't break the law. But what the Pharisees did then is all of these oral laws that they created, they lifted them higher than the Old Testament laws. And they lost sight of love God and love others. There are two that I really love. These laws, I don't love them because I want to follow them. I love them because of how ridiculous. And so in the first century, the Pharisees had created a law that you weren't supposed to carry your burden. You weren't supposed to carry on the Sabbath. And so they made a law that you couldn't carry anything beyond 2,000 cubits. Now that's about 3,000 feet. And so you couldn't go past the walls more than this. And so the whole community couldn't go beyond the wall of the community. So what they would do is before the Sabbath began, they would go out and stretch, some kind of wire or string or something that's beyond the wall so that on the Sabbath they could go further than the allotted distance. The second one is even more humorous to me. There was a law that you couldn't travel more than so many feet from your home on the Sabbath. Well, how do they get around that? Well, where is home? Home is where you have a meal. So before the Sabbath began, on Thursday or Friday morning or whatever the case was, they would go out and set up picnic areas. I don't know that they called them picnics, but they would set up areas where we're going to put food here. So they would travel the allotted distance on the Sabbath, sit down, have a meal. Whoop, we're home. Now we can go further. And this young man says, I've kept all the law. But you love your stuff more than me. You love your stuff more than me. I want to take just a few moments and define love here quickly. Because in the English language, we have one word for love. It's love. But in the Greek, in the New Testament, there are at least three that's used. Eros, which is love you have for a spouse. It's romantic love. It is passionate. It's intense. It includes desire. And then there is phileo, which we call brotherly love. We have a city in Pennsylvania named after Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And so phileo indicates a deep friendship. It includes loyalty, respect for the other person. And then there is agape. And this is the love that we associate with God. It is unconditional. It is selfless. It is altruistic. And that means that it is something, it's a type of love that will help and do the best for someone else, even at great personal cost. And we see that, right? Agape. There is no expectation of a reward. There's no expectation of a return. God desires that all comes to a saving knowledge. But he knows that that's not going to be the case. And so in English, the word love includes all of these things. Passionate, intense, loyal, deep friendship, unconditional. But we use the word love for so many things. I love spicy foods. I love ketchup. Not so much today, but I still love it. People knew that I love ketchup so much that over the years for my birthday, the little gag gifts I would get would be bottles of ketchup. Now I love Caribbean jerk from B-Dubs. Spicy. Love it. I love chicken. I love Chinese food. I loved my Sonoma pickup. Oh, still my favorite truck. A little, like an S10, a Sonoma. It was a step side. Oh, just nice, sleek. Loved it. It was a 5-speed on the floor. Right? It had under this little hood, a Vortec 4.3 liter V6. Powerful little thing. Powerful. I'm on a 4-lane road in Fort Wayne. It's in town. I'm at a stoplight late at night. I don't know, 10, 11. And I'm sitting at a stoplight. And this guy pulls up beside me in a convertible with his girlfriend, wife, someone in the passenger seat. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just waiting for the light. And I hear him going, and I'm thinking, oh, bother, you don't want to do this. Because you don't realize what I have under this hood. When the light hit green, I thought I was a drag race. I'm gone. I look in my rearview mirror, and he was trying to keep up, and all of a sudden, you could just see he backed off like, well, that was a mistake. Yeah, well. I wonder if he impressed her. Anyhow, I loved my Sonoma pickup. Loved it. Before I got this car, I was looking all over the place for another Sonoma with a V6, with the Vortec. Their value is still so incredibly high, but they stopped making them around, I think, 2001. Well, I found one in Hawaii. I wasn't sure how to get it here. So I opted not to go that route. But I loved it. We use the word love. Where does that leave us? In today's world, we say we love people. And we want to love them, but so much of society says love is simply to support somebody and to empower them and whatever they want to do that makes them happy. If I love them, they can do whatever that makes them happy. That's not love. Love speaks the truth. I'm going to go back to my example of you go to the doctor and he says you have diabetes. Do we know what diabetes can cause? There's several of us in here, several of you that have it. And It can cause what? Nerve damage, organ damage, damage to blood vessels. If it's not kept under check, it deteriorates. Cataracts. Cataracts are, I think if I have the number right, I was going to look this up yesterday and I forgot. I believe the number is 95% of the cataract itself is caused by sugar. If we did not eat sugar at all, there would not be cataracts, for the most part. So there's vision loss, there's heart disease, coma. My own grandmother, at the age of 48, 49, laid down on the couch one day, went into a coma. Didn't know she had sugar. She passed away at that age with sugar. My brother had it. I'm blessed to this point without it. But so you go to the doctor and he says you have diabetes. He doesn't say, but I know you love your sugar, so go eat whatever you want. That's not what the doctor says. I went to Troyer's one day, and I forget what I was picking up. I was supposed to get a pie and something maybe for, I forget where I was going. I forget if it was for a gathering. And I walk in, and I'm like, oh, that pie looks good. That pie looks good. Well, these cinnamon rolls. I walk out of there with three pies, a pan of cinnamon rolls, and a pan of the pumpkin bars with the cream cheese. I love cream cheese icing. Walk up to the counter, and I put all that there, and I look at the lady, and she looks at me, and I said, I was at the doctor earlier today, and he said, I need more sugar. And she looks at me like, I'm kidding. I said, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But the doctor doesn't say, go eat sugar when you have diabetes. He tells you the truth in law. Gently, but firmly. And that's what we are lacking in this society. That's what we're lacking in so much of the church, I think, today. Truth. Love with truth and being firm. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who carry heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon yourself. What is a yoke? Well, historically, in the first century, a yoke was a wooden bar that would go on the backs of oxen. And they were put on the shoulders because that's where you could utilize the strength of the animal. And oxen had these yokes so that they could pull heavy loads or do the plowing of the fields. That doesn't sound like an easy burden, does it? But he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Well, there's another yoke in first century. And it was called the yoke of the Pharisees. Have you heard that term? The yoke of the Pharisees. And in Ecclesiasticus, not Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiasticus or Sirach, it's from the Apocryphal, there is a proverb. And the proverb says, to place your neck under the yoke and learn. And the concept was that they were supposed to place the neck under the yoke of the Pharisees, under the yoke of their teaching. And what they were supposed to do was follow their teaching to perfection. And this is where Jesus says, you get a proselyte, and then you make them twice as son of hell as you are. Well, again, 613 laws, thousands of laws that say, don't do this. You can't walk more than 3,000 feet from your home on Sabbath. You know, my mama, she knew what salvation was. She knew that it was by grace. She knew you could not earn it. And yet my uncle, bless his heart, he loved his cigars. Oh, my mama was not happy with that. Her older brother. Because she was concerned, well, I hope they don't keep him out of heaven. She understood salvation. And yet, sometimes we think about, am I following the law right? Are we following the law? I never told her that I actually bought him for him. Huh. She might have come unglued. I picked up his groceries. He's like, can you get these for me? I'm like, okay. Friend of mine once said, you know, smoking like that is not going to send you to hell. It just might make you smell like you've been there. Well, so I got him for him. It is not something. What we do, it's our faith in Christ. It's our faith in Christ. I told Abe before the message today, I said, my notes have never been so discombobulated when I come to the front. Take my yoke upon yourself. Two commands. Love God. Love others. And Jesus says, all of the law, all of the prophets, everything that we're instructed to do, hang on those two things. Love, but not in modern society's definition, but to love them by telling the truth, to restore relationships so that their relationship with God is stronger. Not so that we can live any willy-nilly lifestyle that we want to. We could go on about stories of neighbors that argue about hooks versus buttons. Taking Christ's yoke means that he helps carry our burden. When that yoke went across two animals, they shared the burden. We don't have to carry it alone. And the older animal would usually carry the brunt of the responsibility and the weight, the burden. They would also help direct the younger animal in the path because they are yoked together. This is what Christ wants to do for us, yes? He wants to carry our burdens. We're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. Let the outcome be what he determines. He takes responsibility. If we're trusting him at his direction, at his timing, he takes responsibility for the outcome. He took the penalty for our sins, right? Rest for our souls is found in not trying to earn salvation. Yes, we're to live a righteous life. We're to live according to Scripture. We can't make up the way we want to live. But when we fall, when we see someone else fall, speak the truth in love, but firmly. I'll say this, if we are still trying to earn salvation, if we're still wrapped up in the laws, and if we're still wrapped up in doing the right things and not doing the wrong things, if we're still wrapped up in carrying our own burdens and we don't come to prayer, just stop. Just stop. Stop where we are. Pray. And simply allow Jesus to do for us what we can't do for ourselves anyhow. Yeah, we still have to walk through trials. We still have to walk through the burdens. But remember to lean into Him. Remember to lean in Him. And let's become students of Him so that we can find rest. He wants to give us the rest. Amen.